Good morning and welcome back. City Council will come back from our short recess. Somewhere is Commissioner Fish. He's going to get us started. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad you're here. All right, City Council will consider the consent agenda, but I need four for that, don't I? No. There we go.
That was a quick 5 minutes, Mayor.
I know, I'm sorry. We're considering the consent agenda. Any items that need to be pulled from consent agenda?
Yes.
Items
1017 and 1018.
1017 and 1018, okay. Sue, will you call the vote on the... Oh, you got to read those titles. 1017.
Amend contract with Michael Willis Architects to increase compensation and scope of work for interstate maintenance facility rehabilitation design services. 1018. Amend contract with Hoffman Construction Company to increase compensation and scope of work for interstate maintenance facility renovation construction manager pre-construction services.
And would you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Holtzman.
Aye.
Leonard. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain presentation, item number 1009?
Latino Family Day.
I'd like to recognize Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and colleagues. I'm very pleased to introduce a brief presentation this morning on Latino Family Day, and we have some honored guests with us I'd like to recognize. First, Alejandro Vidalis from Portland Parks and Rec, who we'll be hearing from in a moment. Next, Jacqueline Luna, Lourdes Montes, and Oscar Laura. Welcome to all four. We also have an interpreter, Consuela. Thank you for joining us. This past spring, Portland Parks and Rec was proud to host our first Latino Family Day at the Mount Scott Community Center. I attended that event with Director Mike Abate. There was a tremendous turnout, and it was a great success. We also hosted our first Native American Day this year. These annual events are an important part of our city's efforts to embrace historically underserved communities. The Latino Family Day was made possible through strong partnerships with the Latino Network, Catholic Charities of Oregon, Hacienda CDC, and the Miracle Theater Group. We've asked our partners from Latino Network to give us a brief presentation on the community impact of this event. And to start our presentation off, I'd like to introduce our very own Alejandro Vidalis, who is Portland Parks and Rec's Outreach Services Coordinator. Alejandro, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for the time and opportunity to come and present to you about our very first Latino Family Day and all of the positive impacts and outcomes that have come from this event. I think to start off this morning, we're going to have Jacqueline Luna from Latino Network. She's the community organizer and coordinator for the leadership program at Latino Network. Jacqueline.
Buenos días, mayor y comisionados de la ciudad de Portland. Mi nombre es Jacqueline Luna y represento a la comunidad latina y la colaboración que tuvo Latino Network con la Oficina de Parques y Recreaciones de la ciudad de Portland para el evento del Día Familiar Latino.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner of the Portland City. My name is Jacqueline Luna. She is working like a coordinator in the Latino Network in the Leaders Program. She is representing the community Latino, and she's collaborating with the Latino Network, with the Office of Park and Recreation of the City of Portland for this event, Día Familiar Latino.
Estoy aquí para describir lo maravilloso de este evento. Fue un éxito gracias a todas las organizaciones involucradas, Teatro Milagro, Programa Hispano, Hacienda CDC y ONI, por mencionar algunas. Tuvimos muchas actividades, comenzando porque tuvieron presentes mesas de recursos.
I'm here to describe the wonderful event we have. This was an exit. Thank you to different organizations like a Teatro Milagro, the Programa Hispano, Hacienda CDC, and ONI, just to mention some ones. We have a great activities. We start with the present with the next one resources.
Las mesas de recursos fueron el Hispanic News, Portland Park Recreation Tables, Latino Network, Hacienda CDC, Miracle Theater Group, Caridades Católicas, el programa hispano, Causa, Derechos Básicos de Oregon, Nuestras Familias, Portland Timbers, Somos Timbers, Jefferson High School, Mecha, OPAL, y Voluntarios de América y Mexican Tawil.
All these community Latinos was El Hispanic News, Portland Parks and Recreation Table, Latino Network, Hacienda CDC, Miracle Theater, Catholic Charities, Causa, Basic Right Oregon, City of Portland, Portland Timbers, Jefferson High School, Mecha Student, OPAL, Volunteers of America, Mexica, Tijuana.
Can you change the picture?
Una de las cosas importantes de este evento fue la charla con el comisionado Nick Fitch y Mike Abate, director de Parques y Recreaciones de Portland.
No, we just need the cameras back on. Yeah. They went through the slideshow.
Yeah. Okay. One of the most important part of this event, it was the speak we had with Nick Fitch and Mike Abbott. He is the director of Parks and Recreation of Portland, who was invited a community to participate. And
Ellos invitaron a hacer unas encuestas realizadas por voluntarios de la Red Latina, graduados de la Academia de Líderes, en donde la comunidad podía expresar lo que sabe de esta oficina, así como plasmar las necesidades de esparcimiento según nuestra cultura. Alentaron a conocer cuáles son las barreras y qué les gustaría para poder disfrutar de estos servicios.
They were invited to have some answers. They really, I'm sorry, I totally lost. Okay. They were invited some people to be participate in this event to just have their own opinions and to make They are very grateful to have this event done because they wanna make more events like this, want to have more participation to the community. And this was very, very thank you for the impact they have in the community.
Estamos muy emocionados que nuestras opiniones fueran escuchadas y tomadas en cuenta, y esperamos con gusto cuál fue el impacto de este esfuerzo.
It was great because we have a lot of participants in this event, like Latino Chileno Baile Folclórico. We have a great event, hip hop, a lot of artisanates representing to the deport favorite. They want to move to the
Por todo esto, gracias, comisionado Nick Fitch y Oficina de Parques y Recreaciones. Un especial agradecimiento a Alejandro Vidales, porque fue una pieza clave para esto. Gracias.
Thank you very much to Nick Fitch and the Office on Park Recreation. It was a special thanks to Alejandro Vidales for everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next, we're going to have a couple of the community volunteers that were there that day say a couple of words about their experience.
Lourdes.
Hola.
I know. I've got help on the way up to the control booth. It's not responding.
Thanks. Hola, muy buenos días, señor alcalde y comisionados de la ciudad de Portland. Mi nombre es Lourdes Montes. Soy miembro de Líderes Verdes, de la Organización Verde, y exalumna de la Academia de Líderes de Red Latina.
Good morning. My name is Mayor and the Commissioner of the City of Portland. My name is Lourdes Montes. I'm a member of Líderes Verdes of the Organization Verde and ex-alumna to Academy of Leaders de Red Latina.
Estoy aquí para dar mi testimonio sobre mi experiencia sobre los parques y recreaciones. Yo y mis hijos y mi esposo estuvimos en un evento que nos gustó mucho, que fue el Día Familiar Latino en el Centro Comunitario MT Scott.
I'm here to communicate you. I was present in this event with me, myself, my, you know, my family, my husband, and my kids, and it was a great event.
Y a mis hijos les gustó mucho andar en la alberca y en la pista de patinaje y jugar en el parque. Ya no se querían ir de ahí.
And my kids, they really enjoyed the pool, and they skate and everything. They didn't want to leave that park.
Me preguntaban por qué no tenían un parque cerca de nuestra casa, que les gustaría mucho tener un parque cerca para llevarlos seguido.
They want to have a park close to their house. That way they can go more frequently.
También ese día hicimos unas encuestas a las personas de las cuales sacamos unas recomendaciones.
We have a recommendation of a lot of people around that event.
Como que hubiera becas alcanzables para todos.
They have becas to be able for everyone.
Que haya parques de recreativos y bilingües.
Bilingual parks and recreation.
Programas con clases para jóvenes y adolescentes como fútbol, ballet folclórico, patinaje, música, box, maratones y carreras.
Great classes for teenagers and like football, folklore, skate, music, and marathons.
Que haya más parques cercas como para llegar caminando.
More parks close by to go just walking.
Más clases de Zumba, de hacer ejercicio en los centros comunitarios bilingües.
More classes of Zumba and exercise in the community centers bilinguals.
Pensamos como comunidad latina que esto ayudaría a tener una comunidad más saludable, evitando pandillerismo, drogadicción y ociosidad de los jóvenes.
We thinking like a community, Latino community, this is going to be great to have more healthy kids. That way we don't going to have more vandalism, drug addiction, or kids, they don't want to do anything.
Muchas gracias por escuchar. Muchas gracias, señor alcalde y comisionados, por escucharme. Y espero que tomen en cuenta mi testimonio.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Commissioner, to have in consideration his testimony.
Thank you. Oscar.
My name is Oscar Lara, and I would like to tell you briefly about my experience at the Family Latino Day. To me, it was very important to see our community come together and see our children. I'm sorry. And see our children come together, interact with one another. These events, I have noticed, that are an excellent way to help our children to keep a safe environment and to let them know there is a support for them. In the event as my first time, I can tell you all the kids integrated very well with these activities. Why? Because they experienced and learned from their culture as there were some artists performing their artwork. As a volunteer, I heard some of the kids talking about their new experience and how cool their culture was, as some of them never saw this before. I believe these events will teach our kids how to stay out of trouble and interact with other people as well. Activities usually keep minds busy and also active to prevent depression and obesity, which has become a big issue in our community. I would like to thank you for allowing us to have these activities, as this is just the beginning to a new way to get to know our community and also a better way to support them. Thank you.
A couple of the recommendations for addressing the needs of communities of color from the Coalition of Community of Color reports that were presented here was one to provide culturally specific programming, and two, the desire for communities to be visible, to be counted. With those goals in mind, we had our first family day. The purpose of the project was community partnership development, knowledge exchange, public education, and to be inclusive and welcoming by celebrating cultural diversity. Our approach to this project was to involve our community partners in the development, implementation, and outreach of this event. Our goals have always been maintaining consistent participation, getting information out to the community, and having communities feel welcome not only at our centers but at any facet of PPNR. Through this event, we were able to accomplish all these goals as well as create a network with community partners of consistent communication that have led to consistent engagement in programs, employment opportunities, engagement in parks, and most importantly, our continued goal of learning from the communities we serve. One tool that we did at this event was a survey that allowed us to learn about the Latino community, its interest in our services, the barriers they face, and accessing our programs. Phase one was to collect a minimum of 300 surveys. We're currently at 220 and expect to be at 300 by the end of the month. After that, our senior management analysis will run reports to review the data. Their surveys are a starting point that will lead us into phase two of developing more in-depth questions for target focus groups that will be done in Spanish. People for these focus groups will come from the partnering agencies. This work will give us information to present to our seniors management that will help us in starting to design our facilities and programs to be more responsive to the needs of the Latino community. It's a very exciting time at PPNR, and I'm thankful to our leadership, from our community relations team to our senior management, for their undivided support. We feel like we are creating a blueprint on how to successfully engage with historically underserved, underrepresented communities. Our Latino Day is one piece of our targeted outreach. Previously, we've had Native American Family Day that was developed by our PPNR Native American Advisory Board that includes representation from NARA, Bow and Arrow, Cultural Club, NEA, Celeste Tribe, Grand Ronde, among others. And we're currently working with our second Native American Family Day for this November, but also developing year-long healing walks in the park. We are also currently wrapping up our People of the Drum project that is a partnership with Portland Taiko, Mexica Tiawi, Medicine Bear, and Obo Adi Master Drummer, who our prayers are with, as we have learned that he is in the final stages of a second bout with liver cancer. He's an inspiration and impacted so many of us, and we're blessed that he's a part of this great collaboration of cultures coming together. Our final presentation is scheduled to be at Charles Jordan Community Center on October 21st at 3:30. You're all invited to come. And as you know from past presentations, our soccer tournament that engages over 300 youth from all over the city to learn about employment opportunities and career exposure from Portland Police Bureau, Portland Fire Rescue, Office of Equity, and of course, PPNR. Our experiences have taught us that providing access to programs and services, providing information, providing opportunities, and promoting community events that celebrate the diversity are all keys toward a welcoming and inclusive city. I want to thank our partners at Latino Network, Jackie, Oscar, Lourdes, for all their work, support, and point us in the right direction. As people have said earlier, public involvement is a part of Portland, and as intimidating as it may be to come and present in front of you, their dedication and wanting to hear their voice and presence be heard is evident by being here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor Adams, I thank you now. Let's give them a round of applause. I think you and my colleagues now have further evidence as to why at Parks we're very proud of the work that Alejandro is doing and the whole outreach team. I want to thank our honored guests for joining us and for their eloquent words. When we talk about equity and social justice and access, what we're really talking about at the city level is welcoming people into all the programs we offer and making sure they have an equal opportunity to participate. That regardless of income and language and ethnicity and race and geography, that people feel like the local community center is their community center, that the programs we offer are their programs. This council has made a tremendous commitment to equity, but on the ground, it takes dedicated people like Alejandro and the folks at Portland Parks and Rec to actually put it into action. So again, I want to thank our team. I'm very proud of your work, and I want to thank our honored guests, and especially I want to thank our partners who helped make these programs so successful, and I look forward to joining you next year at the second annual Latino Family Day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Sue, can you please read the title for S-1026 and call the vote?
S-1026, establish rates for stormwater management services in the areas of the city served by Multnomah County Drainage District Number 1, Peninsula Drainage District Number 1, and Peninsula Drainage District Number 2, and commence direct billing.
When you vote.
And
you're going to vote, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Saltzman?
You're first.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, since we last discussed this last week, I'm pleased to say that we've received a letter from the Drainage District stating that they will, in fact, pay us, the City Bureau of Environmental Services, the $670,000 that was collected from Drainage District customers for stormwater purposes. So the Drainage District has notified us, and we're very grateful that they will, in fact, pay us the money that is owed us for this fiscal year. And otherwise, I am pleased to pleased with the compromise we've worked out to phase in full stormwater fees that, like every city customer throughout the city, pays for Drainage District customers over the next 4 years. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to everybody who participated in this process, to Commissioner Saltzman for being willing to revisit the proposal, and to the Drainage District for agreeing to the compromise. It seems like this is a one where we were able to get to a compromise solution. I'm very grateful for that. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank Dan Saltzman and Dean Marriott for their good work. This council listened to the customers, and we modified the proposal to include phasing in implementation and operating off of a fiscal year. I'm delighted that we were able to reach this compromise, and I want to especially thank Corky Collier and a number of the folks that he works with who came and testified and educated us about the impact of these fees. But I'm particularly pleased that the Drainage District has come to an agreement with the Bureau of Environmental Services. This seems like a victory for common sense. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for being fleet-footed at the end and coming up with what I think is a great way forward. Thanks to the neighbors that came in and testified last time. Thanks to the Columbia Quarter Association, and specifically Corky Collier, for his good work on this. Please vote aye. So approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for item number 1023?
1023, amend Portland's comprehensive plan map and zoning map for properties along and near the Cully Boulevard Main Street. Saltzman.
Well, there was a lot of hard work done on this plan. I want to thank the mayor for his leadership on this, and the Cully neighborhood for its activism. It was a good public hearing we had in the neighborhood, and this is a good plan for the Cully neighborhood. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to the Mayor and Bureau of the Planning and Sustainability and the Cully Association of Neighborhoods for the good work on this project. Debbie Bischoff is an amazing planner and has done outstanding work in all the neighborhoods she's been involved in. These aren't major zoning changes, but the changes that are being made will allow for more thoughtful development in Cully. It also maybe will be a site for piloting the new different standards for public streets, which I think is very exciting proposal that Mayor Adams is putting forward. And the amendments that we passed a couple of weeks ago will further improve the plan. Aye.
Fish.
At the community hearing we held, I noted for the umpteenth time that during my tenure in council, I thought that the two most successful community planning exercises that we've been a part of were the Cully Concordia Plan, the East Portland Action Plan. And they were successful, I think, because they fully engaged the community in the planning process, and they gave us a clear roadmap forward. And I join with Commissioner Fritz in offering my thanks to the senior staff at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and particular Debbie Bischoff, who is just so good at what she does. And I thank Mayor Adams for making this a priority. Change is coming to Cully. We have to make sure it's balanced and thoughtful. But as we make these new investments in parks and in the Central District and elsewhere, we need to do so with the community's voice. And I think that this is the right approach and the right way forward. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I just want to thank the great team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and my planning and sustainability team, Lisa Libby, John Apapas, and Rehana Ansari. I look forward to having the forum next month on follow-on discussion on making sure that we're being as creative and we've thought about all the questions and all the potential answers to improving Cully, as Commissioner Fish referenced, without gentrification. So looking forward to that work in the next month. Aye. 1023 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1022?
1022, authorize and direct the Portland Water Bureau to fluoridate the City of Portland's public drinking water supply to the optimal levels beneficial to reduce tooth decay and promote good oral health as recommended by the Oregon Health Authority.
You have to call the vote.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank everyone, literally thousands of people who called or emailed their opinion and to share information with me on fluoridation. To the nearly 300 people that testified at our public hearing last week, I want to say that I stand in awe of your civility and respect for one another and to the City Council through 7 hours of testimony. As the city's children's commissioner, I oversee nearly $100 million in taxpayer funds to protect and care for children through the Portland Children's Levy. When we, the City Council, and I make those investment decisions, we look for proven means to maximize the health, safety, and welfare of our kids. I believe for a relatively small public expenditure to fluoridate our drinking water, our community will reap tremendous long-term dividends.
Listen, if you want to hear what he has to say, and we listen to 7 hours of testimony, you need to be quiet. Again, no drama. I'm just going to have you removed, okay? They're standing by, Joe.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'll volunteer. You guys really lose it.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. As I said, for a relatively small public expenditure to fluoridate our drinking water, our community will reap tremendous long-term dividends in the form of improved health of Portland's kids. In addition, the public testimony also documented to me the benefits to the dental health of older adults from fluoridation.
Freedom of choice.
Some opponents argue we should not fluoridate our water because dental health is an individual's responsibility. While this is a nice concept in theory, the reality is a 3-year-old child cannot be expected to take responsibility for their dental health. A child in foster care who has been in a dozen foster homes cannot be expected to ensure that the adults looking after her get her proper dental care or even have access to her dental records. I believe it is particularly important to protect the health of young children, but I also believe we need to help ensure not only their health, but their future success in life. The dental health of a child.
Hey,
Mayor, could we have order?
I see you. I hear you talking. More of that, and I'll just tap behind you, Joe, and I'll just have you removed. Okay? It's really simple.
Thank you, Mayor. So the dental health of a child during his formative years will affect him for his entire life. It's extremely hard to concentrate in school when your mouth hurts all the time. Later in life, as young children become adults, the self-consciousness that results from poor dental care can become a major barrier to finding a job and being successful in life. The single most effective, safest, and affordable way to extend lifelong dental health to our youngest Portlanders is to fluoridate our drinking water. This is the right thing to do, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
You're up.
Leonard.
Ma'am, who keeps talking over here? Ma'am, would you leave? If you're going to keep talking, leave. Or I'll have you removed.
Public Water Council!
All right. Get him removed. Next person to vote?
Leonard.
Well, it isn't just time for Portland to enter the 21st century. We have some business to make up from the 20th century. And I understand, actually, more than ever, particularly in the framework of what I'm observing now, why my predecessors didn't want to vote on this. As is being evidenced here today, as we saw at the hearing last week, and certainly in some of the emails I received, this is not an issue for the faint of heart. But I have met with all sides. I watched the 2.5-hour video. Well, don't shake your head. No, I watched the 2.5-hour video you asked me to watch, Charlie. And I very much paid attention. I'm not sure.
That'll be enough of that. That'll be enough of that.
I'm not sure if I was anti-fluoridation, though I would have sent that video out. It was very difficult to comprehend what the point was. But amongst the people that I did meet with, representatives of locally were the African American Health Coalition, the Albina Head Start, the Asian Health and Service Center, the Coalition of Communities of Color, Friends of Creston Children's Dental Clinic, Native American Youth Association, more commonly known as NAYA, Oregon Head Start, Oregon Nurses Association.
That'll be enough of that.
And the Oregon Pediatric Society. Those are local Oregon partners who participated in bringing this effort forward. But they reflect national organizations such as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Cancer Society, the American Dental Association, the American
That'll
Medical
be enough
Association.
Of that.
Who represents the people?
All right.
The Centers for Disease.
Another one, and you're out of here.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Hispanic Dental Association, the National Academy of Sciences, the National Cancer Institute, the U.S. Public Health Service, and the World Health Organization. The days of Portland being the largest city in the United States that has not taken action to fluoridate our waters, hopefully, is over. And hopefully, kids...
That's enough. Enough, or you're going to get out of here.
And hopefully, children that are born after we take this action won't suffer the effects of a lack of adequate oral hygiene. So I proudly today... join Commissioner Saltzman and my other colleagues in voting aye.
Fritz.
I truly appreciate all of the input that I have received on this issue from both proponents and opponents, and I commend the passions on both sides of this issue. We should care about what we do for children's health and for our own bodies. Last week's 6.5-hour hearing was one of the my favorite experiences of my first term. So many people participating, so many valid points raised, and so much civility despite the passionate views held. Thank you to everyone who took the time to come last week and to those of you who are here again today to show your concern and interest in this issue. I've considered all of the arguments on both sides. I've received over 33,000 comments, by far the most that I've received on any issue since I've been in City Hall in 2009. And I know whichever way I vote today, many, many Portlanders will be very, very angry with me. I can't address all of the comments raised over the past few weeks in my comments today, although by the time I get to the end of this speech, you may think that I have attempted to. But I have looked into every one of them, and you may have noticed me last week Googling on my iPad when folks raised particular concerns to check what the scientific literature said about those concerns. And I particularly thank Dr. Bill Osmondson, who came to my office the day after the hearing last week and gave me a half-hour briefing that didn't fit into the 1 minute he was allocated for his testimony. Dr. Osmondson has been a courageous voice questioning the establishment in his profession of dentistry. I'm not shy about questioning establishment myself, and I know that the costs can be significant. Thank you to all of you who've spoken out. As I considered my vote, I thought about baby Gwendolyn and her mom, and I thought about Joseph and Amy Santos Lyons and their daughters. And I particularly thought about the very last speaker, who was a dentist who was so shy about public speaking, but cared enough.
All right, would you remove her, please? You're out of here. You're out of here. You're out of here. I told you, I warned you 3 times.
The dentist cared so much that he presumably came in after work to testify on this hearing, despite being terrified of public speaking. So I'm voting on the preponderance of the evidence and the most good for the most people. But I recognize this is not an all-or-nothing choice and that the decision will be detrimental for some Portlanders. This issue should be about more than fluoride, yes or no. It should be about prevention, about public health in its broadest sense, equity, and looking out for the minority when the will of the majority is imposed. Because of the process chosen leading up to today's vote, many of those issues have received only token attention. The preponderance of the evidence evaluated by medical experts concludes that fluoride is helpful and not harmful in the recommended dilution in municipal water supplies. As a retired nurse, I am not qualified to make a medical decision. I'm making this vote as an elected politician, charged with considering all opinions and voting for the long-term public good. The question is, which choice is more in support of the long-term public good? At best, the dental health problems of Portland children are only partially solved by adding fluoride. Many experts, though certainly not all, believe that fluoride improves dental health for children and adults. But the disparities in dental health for people of color and people with low incomes persist in communities with fluoridated water. We cannot simply add fluoride and expect that all children and adults in Portland will have cavity-free perfect teeth. Dental cavities are also caused by lack of proper nutrition, such as fresh vegetables. It's caused by our children consuming too much sugar and being given juice in baby bottles. It's caused by a lack of proper dental hygiene. And most importantly, the real equity challenge is a lack of access to dental care. We need a public health campaign to urge parents to sign up for the Healthy Kids Insurance Program and to get the twice-yearly dental checkups that are provided free of charge to families under that program. We heard also testimony about those who are in the gap between being able to afford their own care and being eligible for the Healthy Kids Program. My first question when I heard about the fluoride proposal, which is at the same time that most Portlanders heard about it, or actually a little afterwards because I was in England at the time that the announcement was made, attending a family wedding, was why don't we just expand the fluoride tablet program that my kids had when they were in Portland Public Schools 20 years ago? And I've heard that question from many others. The answer is that the fluoride tablet approach hasn't worked. Kids don't get it on the weekend, they don't get it in the holidays, and they don't consistently get it even in schools. We've tried it, it hasn't resolved the dental health problems, and we can't continue to use the same approaches that have failed in the past and expect different outcomes. We are being asked to try a different approach. I've talked with Chair Jeff Cogan at the county about reallocating the money that is currently being spent on the school fluoride program to public education about dental health in particular. I want to see the county dedicate even more resources to educating mothers on the virtues of breastfeeding for a full year. The American Dental Association recognizes that medical practitioners may advise their patients on up to 40% increased risk of fluorosis when infants are fed formula reconstituted with fluoridated water. I was surprised that some of the healthcare practitioners testifying last week seemed unaware of this recommendation. Clearly, more education is needed both in the community and with mental and dental practitioners. We need to take this opportunity while people are paying attention to make certain that everyone realizes that fluoride isn't a cure-all. We can add fluoride to our water and we will still have dental health disparities in Portland. The evidence shows that disparities persist in fluoridated communities. The bar is raised for all. That's the issue. Poor families still have a higher rate of decay than affluent families after fluoridation. Severe dental decay is a socioeconomic problem. Parents need to be educated about the importance of proper dental care, brushing and flossing, and instill that importance in their children from a very young age, and then continue to comment after their children say that they know how to do it. I speak from experience on that one. Parents need to be educated about limiting the amount of sugar their children consume, and that fresh vegetables and fruits are contribute to oral health. I'm being asked to fluoridate our water supply by a wide range of public interest groups and mental and dental professionals, as well as my beloved Oregon Nurses Association. I'm being asked to vote to add fluoride by communities of color. I cannot on one day call for greater voice for underrepresented communities than on the next day disregard the request of multiple minority groups. And like the neighborhood associations, no group speaks for all of its members. We heard impassioned testimony by people of color opposing fluoridation. The preponderance of the testimony from those most affected by dental health disparities was in support. I recognize that there will be continued disagreement on this issue also. I find some of the concerns raised by opponents valid. I don't believe this measure is being funded by chemical companies, but I do recognize that there are people who are sensitive to fluoride, as well as potential health impacts that are still under review in the scientific literature. There are extreme views expounded on both sides of this issue. There are also reasoned facts and studies which are being disregarded by some pushing one side or the other. Regardless of the merits of adding fluoride, we have lost public trust over this process. Decisions on important matters like this should not be made by closed doors, and that is why we had the long hearing last week. That is why we're having this long discussion today. The voters have said no to fluoride on three different times. But before the conversation with the public really got going, the vote was already assured. That is not good public process and not how this council should make difficult decisions that affect so many people in a personal way. We didn't consult our wholesale customers in the decision, and that lacks the respect owed to our wholesale customers. I'm disappointed that the debate on the merits of the proposal has been overshadowed by concern over the process, and the way we get there does matter. I believe that the benefits of fluoridated water are significant, but we must do a more thorough evaluation of its impacts, and we must continue to evaluate evidence and recommendations from the Environmental Protection Agency, the Centers for Disease Control, the American Medical Association, and the American Dental Association moving forward. Last night, a participant at a community meeting suggested setting up a citizen review committee to monitor implementation, advise on treatment options, and also on public education, and to keep current on recommended doses. This group should include both proponents and opponents of fluoridation and should advise on implementation as well as provide a report on the positive and negative impacts to customers and consumers. I believe this is an excellent suggestion. What the city chooses to put in its water beyond what is required to achieve potable water is an important issue that deserves public discourse. I trust the people of Portland. I trust the advocates on both sides to continue working, educating everyone in Portland about the issues involved. I believe this issue will likely be decided by voters, even though there isn't support on the council to refer the choice right now. I have to put aside my dismay about the process by which this proposal was put before the council and vote on whether, after considering all the evidence, I believe fluoridation is a net benefit or net detriment to the majority of Portlanders. I am the daughter of a member of the first ever training class of dental hygienists in England. I am a nurse. I am a mother who cares about the health of every child in Portland. Because of who I am and what I've learned over the past 4 weeks, I vote aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. As co-sponsor of this ordinance, I have concluded that fluoridation is a safe, cost-effective...
Microphone on, Mr. Fish.
It's hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. I have concluded that fluoridation is a safe, cost-effective, and common-sense approach to protecting and promoting public health. I did not reach this decision lightly. I have heard from Portlanders who strongly oppose adding fluoride to Portland's water. But today, the children and families of Portland are looking to this council for leadership, and we must seize the opportunity. Here's how I came to my decision. Fluoride is supported by a broad coalition of public health, medical, and community-based organizations. In fact, virtually every mainstream health organization that is weighed in supports fluoridation. Fluoride is safe. Today, over 200 million Americans drink fluoridated water. Portland, as Randy noted, is one of the last cities of its size not to fluoridate water. And the Centers for Disease Control call community fluoridated water, quote, one of the top 10 public health advances of the 20th century.
Hey, you're out of here. You're out of here. Get out of here. You're gone. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
Two more months.
All right. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough.
Thank you, Mayor. Fluoride is also cost effective. It will cost.
All right. That's it.
Be free without fluoride.
You're out of here. You're out of here. Pause. You're out of here, sir.
I know where the door's at.
You're ejected. Hey. Hey. No language.
Fuck you.
Go ahead.
I'm surprised the council's doing this.
All right, we'll just, you're out of here. Goodbye. You're out of the room. You're out of the room.
Thank you.
You're going to be out of here soon, Sam.
Joe, you're out of here. Goodbye.
You
goodbye,
today.
Joe.
We
we'll see you.
Tomorrow.
Goodbye. Goodbye. You're
tomorrow.
Gone. You're gone. Goodbye. You're gone. You know where the door is. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Fluoride is cost-effective. It will cost Portland families about $6 to build a fluoridation facility and about 64 cents a year to operate it. For this modest investment, we can prevent tooth decay and save millions of dollars in unnecessary dental bills. Most important for me, fluoride will benefit all of our kids, regardless of race or income. An alarming number of children in Oregon, roughly 1 in 3, suffer from serious tooth decay. This is morally unacceptable. As the parent of an 8-year-old child covered by health and dental insurance, I'm fortunate to be able to follow my dentist's recommendations and give my child regular fluoride treatments. But too many hardworking families simply cannot afford this basic preventative measure, and their children are twice as likely to suffer from dental disease. With fluoridated water, all of our children will have the same opportunity to start life with healthy teeth. During my 4 years on...
All right. Angel, you're out. Good night. Go. You're out. You're out.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're out.
During my 4 years on council, I can't remember an issue that has generated so much passion on both sides. I join with my colleagues in thanking all those who took the time to testify, send us emails, or call our offices. I want to thank the Everyone Deserves Healthy Teeth Coalition for bringing this important issue forward, and special thanks to Upstream Public Health for their leadership. I am proud to vote aye.
Adams.
I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for bringing this issue forward, and I want to thank the community-based organizations who have been very responsive to my request for offering citations and science behind their claims. And I've asked that from all sides. The convincing citation, the convincing claims are on the fluoridation side. I have researched almost every major claim made by all sides. And for Portlanders, I can reassure you that the science is behind fluoridation as we have proposed it today. Nothing is absolutely safe in any quantities, nothing. We currently add very dangerous chemicals, dangerous if in the wrong quantities and in the wrong place. So what is spelled out in this resolution is based on I think in terms of public policy issues, fluoridation has to be one of the most researched for almost the longest period of time of almost any other public policy issue I've ever come across. And it is, the science is very, very convincing. I am pleased to vote aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for, you can step out now. You can step out. We'll take a 5-minute break to set up for the next discussion.
What's the next issue?
We've got, can you cut?